This evening I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be going through Matthew chapter 26 and Matthew chapter 27 in our discussion, specifically concerning our first point tonight. But I'm going to be calling out a lot of scriptures in between, and I ask for sake of following along with me that you just camp out in Matthew chapter 26 and 27 and follow along with the passages that I call out from those chapters. I think it'll be beneficial to you and beneficial to all who are studying together this evening. We think about the gospel, we've often been taught that the gospel means the good news, and certainly it does. The term gospel is an old Saxon word. It means God's spell, which refers to the great power which the gospel has over man. We see this in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word gospel is found 98 times or in 98 verses in the Bible. It is used 104 times in those 98 verses. It is not found in the Old Testament, but it is found in every book in the New Testament except for the gospel account of John, Titus, 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude. The gospel is the good news of how one can be saved from his sins. The history of Christ coming into the world to save sinners is without doubt the best news that we have ever received, which came from heaven to earth. No less than an angel was the one who said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joys, which will be to all people." Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10. The gospel contains facts that are to be believed. They contain commands to be obeyed and promises to be enjoyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. Three of the facts found in the gospel are of primary importance to us. These three facts change the world forever. Jesus Christ's death, His burial, and His resurrection. This evening, I invite you to study with us together as we study these three facts. Fact number one, Christ died for man's sin. While the gospel is the good news, it has at the heart of it a tragedy. The tragic death of Christ for our sins. God was able to use this horrific, horrible event as it was to give the most welcoming news to ever be received. The death of Jesus would save us from our sins. That death unfolded in a series of events. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus was betrayed and arrested. Matthew chapter 26 verses 47 through 56. Also accounted in John 18, verses 1 through 13. He was bound by his enemies, says John chapter 18 and verse 12. He was forsaken by his disciples, Matthew 26, verse 56. Jesus was tried by the Jews first, Matthew chapter 26, verse 57 through 68. He was first taken to Annas, the deposed high priest, and the power behind the scenes, if you will, John chapter 18 and verse 13. And then to Caiaphas, the official high priest, John chapter 18 and verse 24. During his trial, Jesus was taunted. He was spit upon. He was buffeted. Matthew chapter 26, verse 67 and 68. He was slapped, and many times in the margin of John 18, 22, it explains that he was hit with reeds and struck, and perhaps even on the mouth, as explained in John 18, 22. Even the servants joined in. Mark chapter 14 and verse 65. He was kept up all night that night. Matthew 27 verse 1. He had no food or drink after the Last Supper, during which time Jesus was denied by Peter. Matthew chapter 26 verse 69 through 75. Also Luke chapter 22 verse 61. Eventually, although he was innocent, he was wrongfully convicted of blasphemy and was punishable by death under the Jewish system. But Jesus was tried by the Romans. Next, moving into Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 25. He was bound and taken from the Jewish Sanhedrin to Pilate's headquarters. We see in Matthew 27, verse 1 and 2. The charge was changed at that time from blasphemy to revolt because the Romans would not execute for blasphemy, but they would execute for revolt, says Luke chapter 23 and verse 2. Pilate tried to pass the buck by sending Jesus to King Herod, Luke chapter 23 verses 6 through 12. King Herod only mocked Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. Next, Judas tried to stop the proceedings but was unsuccessful. Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 10. Convinced that Jesus was innocent of all wrongdoing, Pilate tried to stop the crucifixion by offering to free either Jesus or Barabbas, a notorious criminal. And in his mind, he may have thought that the people would not choose Barabbas. They chose Barabbas and insisted that Jesus be crucified, Matthew chapter 27, verse 16, Mark chapter 15, verse 7, and Luke chapter 23, verse 18. Very bone-chilling words as they cried out, "Crucify him." Pilate's wife tried to stop the crucifixion in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. Pilate tried for a third time to stop the crucifixion, Luke chapter 23, verse 22 and 23. He then washed his hands and signed off on the greatest travesty of justice ever perpetrated. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Jesus was then scourged. Matthew 27, verse 26. John 19, verse 1. This required that he be stripped of his clothes, and although it was cold, John 18, verse 18, they did strip him of his clothes. He was mercilessly beaten with a whip and then reclothed, according to Matthew 27, verse 28. The Roman soldiers at the praetorium then stripped him again, clothed him in a scarlet robe, put a crown of thorns on his head, hit him with a reed, spit upon him, and smote him with their hands, Matthew 27. Verses 27 through 30, and John 19, verse 3. Pilate then presented the beaten Christ before the people, saying, "Behold the man." John chapter 19, verse 5. After this, Jesus was led to the place of execution. Matthew 27, verse 32 and through 34. Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. They took the purple robe off of him and put his own clothes on him once again. Matthew 27, verse 31. They paraded him down the streets to Golgotha. At some point in time, Simon was summoned to bear the cross after Jesus. Luke chapter 23, verse 26. Arriving on site, he refused to drink vinegar and gall that was offered to him. Matthew 27, verse 34. Mark 15, verse 23, which was usually given simply to deaden some of the terrific pain that was endured by the beating, the travel, and the hanging upon the cross. Jesus was crucified. Matthew chapter 27, verses 35 through 50. This started at the third hour of the day. It was 9 a.m., Mark 15, verse 25. It became completely dark at the sixth hour. It was noon, Mark chapter 15, verse 33. Jesus died at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., Mark 15, verse 34 through 37. It was during His time upon the cross, the time of the crucifixion, that Jesus prayed for the soldiers, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, who had caused Him such pain, Matthew 27, verse 36. While on the cross, Jesus suffered physically for thirst, John chapter 19, verse 28, and He suffered emotionally, feeling forsaken by the Father, Matthew 27, and verse 46. And then it was finished, and He died, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. The first fact that changed the world forever was that Jesus Christ died for man's sin. The second fact that changed the world forever was that Christ was buried. Isaiah prophesied about the details of the burial of Jesus 7 centuries before it occurred, saying in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 9, "And He made His grave with the wicked, but with the rich at His death." Jesus' dead body was still upon the cross when Joseph went to Pilate and requested permission to bury His body. Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 53. And so when Pilate granted it, Joseph took the body and with the help of Nicodemus prepared the body for burial. And upon using 100 pounds of myrrh and alloys, John chapter 19 and verse 39, the body was finally ready. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 57, "And He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in His new tomb, which He had hewn out of a rock. And He rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed." It was complete. Christ was buried. The third fact that changed the world forever was that Christ was resurrected. The underlying proposition of the Bible as a whole is found in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 30. There the Bible says, "God raised Him from the dead." This is a fact to be believed. For if it is not true, then there is no gospel, there is no good news. We could throw away the Bible because it would contain no hope for humanity. But thanks be to God, it is true. God did raise Him from the dead, and the fact that He did raise Him from the dead changed the world forever. How do we know? Well, Jesus promised that He would rise again. And He never told a lie. Look at the combined discussion of Matthew chapter 20 and verse 19. Matthew 27 verses 62 and 64. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 and 22. Jesus told He would rise again. And He never lied. The Bible records it, and the Bible is the world's most trustworthy source. The Bible tells of Christ's death, burial, and His resurrection, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. And it can be trusted, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Angels attested to the fact of the resurrection, and they are greater than any man who says otherwise, Luke chapter 24, verse 5 and 6, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. They are to be believed. The early church believed the account of the resurrection. They believed in the resurrection because many of them were eyewitnesses, and those who were not eyewitnesses were just within the same generation of them. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3, they believed the eyewitness account. The rapid change of the day of worship from being Saturday to Sunday gives further evidence of the resurrection and the power of it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 and Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. The conversions of two individuals are very persuasive in the realization of the resurrection being a very real event. The first I would call you to consider would be the conversion of James, the Lord's half-brother. He was an unbeliever during Christ's lifetime, John chapter 7 and verse number 5. Yet after the resurrection, James was a leader in the church at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Acts chapter 15 verses 13 to 21. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 7. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9. I ask you, why would he have such a drastic change? Why not be a believer when you were with Jesus and you could see him in person? Why not believe him? But then after the resurrection, believe. The only explanation for such a radical change and a loyal following is that James believed in the resurrection. The second individual that is so persuasive by their conversion was that of one named Saul. Saul of Tarsus, he was. He went from persecutor, Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1, to being persecuted, Acts chapter 9, verse 22 through 24. And there wasn't much time between the two. What would cause a man who was persecuting the church to change and become one who would be persecuted? He passed from threatening the disciples to, as he stated, perils of his own countrymen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. What caused that change? What brought about the change in a man of superior intelligence and ability? It was the resurrection. Nothing short of the proof of the resurrection. Read his account of why he was converted. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. These three simple facts change the world forever. Christ died for man's sins. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected. Those three simple facts will change our lives forever if we will only accept them and be obedient to them. And thus we call upon you to be obedient to those three facts. First, one must believe the Scriptures. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've heard the facts this evening. Do you believe those facts? Do you believe to the point that you would be motivated to respond in obedience? Then here's what you must do to be obedient. Repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. Confess the name of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, thus dying to self. Then one must be baptized into Christ, which is the burial. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Galatians 3 and verse 27, Colossians 2 and verse 12. Be buried when the old man has died in repentance. We are buried in the watery grave of baptism. And just as Christ was resurrected from the grave, brought up out of the water, we live a new life, a life that has been changed by these three facts. Just as Christ was brought up out of the tomb, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Question for you to consider this evening. Are you ready to be obedient to the facts of life? We are living in sin. We needed a way to be forgiven. So God sent His Son, His only Son, so that He could die upon that cross, be buried in that grave, rise again the third day, so that we could preach the gospel, the good news, and be obedient to it. Are you willing to accept that offer this evening and be obedient to Him by putting Christ on in baptism? If you are, tonight's the night. Now's the time. Don't put it off. Don't wait another moment.